All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Guest Friday. Great to be back. We got Eric Bellier back. We're talking baseball. It's that time of year, season opener for all teams starts this week. And Eric, it's great to have you back. It's been quite a while.
Feels like our semi-yearly meeting is available now. Like it's like every 6 months. What's going on, man?
Right, that's great. Great to have you here to talk some baseball. It's pretty amazing how quickly the season has come up. We're not recording this like night before the season starts, which is really exciting. Season starts late March this year. I think is a little bit different. It's a little closer to March Madness than typical years. But either way, it's exciting, man.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is, but like obviously I've been on here for like 8 years and running now, but like when it comes to the Mets after a big year, like 2015, you couldn't wait to get to 2016. 2024, you build off of 2024, you can't wait for 2025, So like I'm itching to get to the ballpark next Friday. I'm excited for baseball to be back. I kind of started getting giddy when I did my two fantasy leagues this year. When I did my two drafts, I was like, all right, like now we're getting rolling.
Yeah,
But really, really, it's like Christmas Eve for
yeah,
me.
absolutely. So, we'll definitely get to the Mets later, but I think just off the bat, a lot of storylines here for this season. Obviously the Dodgers will see what their chances are to repeat. I think got the most talented team in baseball, so we'll see what happens with them. The Yankees are dealing with a lot of major injuries. The Mets brought in Juan Soto, and obviously we'll talk about that. But kind of curious about your thoughts about those storylines, and then other ones that you think are important going into this year.
Yeah, the Dodgers, man, like obviously they're the Dodgers. And people can get mad at the whole deferral all they want when now you're seeing more and more teams do it to a lesser degree. The Mets did it with Manaea, bringing Sean Manaea back. The Blue Jays did it heavily with Anthony Santander, bringing him in from Baltimore. But they're a deep team, man. Like everybody, it's almost like I compare it to what the kind of like the LeBron super team with Wade and Bosch. Everybody wanted to play there, right? And you see how they built that bullpen. Blake Snell went there now to start. Sasaki went there to start. But then even guys like Rogers went there. Kirby Yates went there. Anybody that wants to a degree ring chase is going there. But baseball's also a sport, man, where like I feel like we've seen this before. Like the years a couple years ago, a bunch of years ago now, the Padres did it. They brought in Kimbrel, but they brought in Kemp, all these guys, and it didn't work out. But this is a level of just like this is a level of just insane team that you really can't shake it. And look, Betts getting traded there is one thing. Freddie chose to go there after the whole debacle with the contract in Atlanta, but Ohtani just made it that next step, right? Like, don't get me wrong, they were good without him, but now it's like you see it. Last year it was insane, and he still is going to pitch again. So
Right.
like, for them to keep doing what they're doing is crazy. The Yankees, man. I don't know. For me, and I've said this, they're the Yankees. They're always going to compete. They're always going to be in it. But for them, it's like they're not going the extra step that they used to go anymore, right? Like when you lose Soto, and then you don't bring in you bring in Fried, great. You bring in another arm to be, unfortunately, Cole's out, but. You bring in Fried, so he's basically going to be your guy this year. But now Louis Heel's out, and then Stanton's out, DJ's out. Not saying much from the DJ LeMahieu perspective, but you replace guys instead of going out and making the big trade and going for hypothetically a Vlad Guerrero, or even go after Alonso, go after Christian Walker, go after all these big first baseman names. You bring in Goldschmidt. which this feels like Manny Ramirez on the Rays type thing.
Interesting.
You know, so they need to be able to fill that gap. Now, you want to move, you lose Gleyber, fine. You're able to move Jazz Chisholm back to second base, great. Who's your third baseman now? You're staying in-house. You know what I mean? But they're the Yankees. So you know at the deadline, they're going to make a big move, or before the deadline, they're going to make a big move. They're going to hang around. They have a great young core. Dominguez has to take big steps this year. Wells has to build off of last year. They have a great team, you know, but it's instead of filling in the spots they need to fill in, they kind of just throw tape on it and hope it sits there for a certain amount of time, you know, and it's not a knock, but like compared to, I say after the 2008 season, right? 2008 season, I don't even think they made the playoffs. 2009, you're bringing Sabathia, Burnett, Teixeira, Swisher. You go down the list of names of guys. Like, it's a totally different mentality now, which is crazy because it's the same guy building the team. However, it's Hal, not George, owning it. And I just don't know. My cousin and I talk about this a lot. He's an older Yankee fan, and he's like, listen, he's like, as long as Steinbrenner's running the team, I don't want to hear about me personally. I don't think Boone's the problem. I think Boone's a fantastic manager. Does he make some dumb decisions here and there? Every manager does, but it's about the 162 plus the playoffs. But he, as long as Cashman is there, there's a ceiling to them, in my opinion. You know, it's like time has just run its course. You got to go in a different direction. And until they're able to get rid of some of the bigger contracts, like the Stantons, like the LeMahieus, you go down the list of names of guys, like you have Judge, he's always going to be there. But now you're relying on bounce back seasons from guys who had down years, like a Goldschmidt, and you're relying on your young core. And they've been able to push out solid farm systems, but have a solid farm system the last handful of years. But now is really put up or shut up time because you got five, six homegrown bats in that starting in that opening day lineup on tomorrow. I'll say tomorrow, but on Thursday. So, you know, they gotta be able to take that next step this year. Can Cashman pull the trigger and go after big name guys at the deadline and keep building? We'll have to see.
Any other, major storylines coming into the year? And this could even be, something as simple as like, I don't want to say rule changes, but anything kind of like that.
I think if anybody's watched spring training, I got two. Well, not rule change, but if anybody has watched spring training, the ABS system, I think, is going to end up becoming a thing in the next couple years.
Okay, I was curious about that. Yeah.
I think that's the big one because players seem to love it. It's worked really well in AAA. I was reading something today, actually, that they used it like 200 and something times across all the games this spring. Which for not a lot of spring training games throughout the league, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
And then really, not storyline for this year, but something to watch between this season and next season is just they're already starting to talk about a lockout after next year. So, you know, it's at the point now where Manfred works solely for the owners. And the players' union is so staunch against the player for the players that they'll butt heads. And if you remember a couple of years ago, they came to to an agreement very late, just in time to have enough of a regular season, to have enough time for 162 games. The issue is, man, is that there's teams like, listen, Oakland's still a part of it, even though they spent $100 million. They built $100 million payroll this year. But you got Colorado, Pittsburgh, Oakland to a degree. I'm trying to think. The Marlins are another one. The Nationals are getting better, but like there's these lists of teams that view it as a business and they don't view it as trying to keep it competitive. And you have a billion, every guy who owns a team is able to reinvest the money they make and put into the team. Instead, they put into their pockets and they say they can't compete with the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, how they spend. And that's not how this works. It's something to just be aware of. I was reading about it earlier today. It's to me, unless one side makes a substantial move one way or another, it's a foregone conclusion that
Gotcha.
we're gonna have it, and it stinks. I hate it.
Yeah, because yeah, we're all about baseball and playing the game and like doing what you can to be competitive, because it's a game, not a business, as you said, which is kind of too bad that it's come to that in some situations. So obviously, then keep saying this, we'll get to the Mets, but I'm curious about teams that you think had good off seasons that were kind of under the radar, and can those teams compete, if they were in a spot where maybe you weren't really sure about them, but now based on their off season, some moves that they made where maybe they can be kind of a
I
player.
just kind of bashed them. The Oakland A's. I
Okay.
think the A's are going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, they're playing in the minor league ballpark, but you bring in Luis Severino, who had a great year last year. You have a really strong young core. You have Jacob Wilson coming up. You have Zach Eloff, who's going to start off hurt, but you have Max Muncy, who's a highly regarded prospect for them coming up. You have a first baseman prospect who was the best pure hitter in the draft last year, in my opinion, and Nick Kurtz. Guy hits bombs. He'll be up at some point this year. You have Tyler Soderstrom. You have Lawrence Butler in the outfield. Just a young core of guys that are going to be fun. They're going to be scrappy, and who knows if they're going to compete. But I think with you're playing the A's type argument that used to be last year and the year before, it won't really be that. This year, they're a fun one. And I'm weirdly optimistic about the Cubs. I don't know why. I love Kyle Tucker. I think just for this year, they'll be able to compete. However, I don't know about if they're going to sign Kyle Tucker, but I think that they have, the NL Central is so weird, and there's teams that can jump out of anywhere there. They're a fun one. And then, I'm not going to be the homer, but you sign the best pure hitter in baseball. You have a good offseason, I think.
Course, yeah.
But that's just me. That's just me.
Of course.
That's just me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love to get into your thoughts about the Mets this offseason. Obviously the huge signing, getting Soto, and I think it's it definitely should be some excitement around those parts.
Yeah, well, they sold out of season ticket plans, I was reading, so that's cool. But Soto, look, it's amazing when you have an owner, and I'm not used to this because my whole entire life up until 2020, I had to deal with the Wilpons, who were in that lower tier of crappy owners with the teams I mentioned earlier. But now, when Cohen hired David Stearns, one of the questions after he hired him is, how are we going to get Soto on this team? And, it's a change in ownership is like a change of scenery in the sense of like people are buying into the team. Big time players are coming here to buy into the team. And listen, to a lesser degree, a couple of years ago, Scherzer did. And yeah, did it work out? Not really. But that was kind of the first domino to fall to see, listen, to have an owner that's willing to spend. They have players that want to be here. They're building a culture that everybody talks about. And more marquee players are going to come here. And when they landed Soto, that was kind of the first time in a long time that a lot of people were like, all right, the Mets are here. Last year was like they got hot from May 31st on and were the best team. Best team win wise in baseball, and they snuck in. They beat Milwaukee by the skin of their teeth. They beat up on Philly, and then they were 2 wins away from the World Series. I don't know about their pitching. Manaea's hurt to start the year. Franky Montes is hurt. Clay Holmes is a first year starter. He was the closer for the Yankees last handful of years. So I don't know. But bringing in a guy like Soto really changes the the landscape of what Mets baseball is, not just in New York, but in baseball, right? And I was reading Sports Illustrated did a great job. Tom Verducci did a great job writing about it in this month's issue, is that they're really building on the family aspect of things when with bringing in players. And Soto talked about it in his press conference. And listen, $765 million, you could try to mask it no matter what. You got paid, dude. But like you're you have people talking about like Steve's wife, Cohen's wife being involved in taking care of the families. And it's not just Soto. Everybody has talked about it. And guys like you see it in the in bringing Alonso back, is that he only wanted to be here. Now, do I wish he signed a little longer than 2 years with an opt-out after this year? Yes. But guys want to be here. Jesse Winker took less money to come back. Guys, they're talking about trading. They're even being transparent with what potential moves could come. They told Starling Marte they were going to try to trade him, and they're being transparent. That never really happens, in my opinion, in some markets. And to see the Mets be taken, this is going to sound stupid, but taken seriously like they are after last year, it feels good. It feels like, all right, as a fan, it's like, all right, we're at the table now. Like you had those few years, right? Like 15, they made it there. They weren't supposed to. 16, they got in, lost to Madison Bumgarner. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, horrible. 22, the best team that money could buy, and they blow a divisional lead and lose in the first round of the Padres. And then 23 was terrible, and last year was great. But now it feels like, all right, we're at the table now. It's consistency that the fans want. And I think they're going to get it now. And it really starts, man. That leadership group of Nimmo, Lindor, by proxy, Soto, because I mean, he's going to be here for 15 years, and Alonso, it's the core you want to build around, man. Now the pitching just has to perform. The offense is there. Can't ask them all not. That whole lineup won't just stop hitting 1 through 9. There'll always be somebody hitting, thank God. But they're going to be fun, man. I Friday is going to be. I've been to 12 straight home openers. Friday is going to easily be the besides 16 when they did the whole National League Championship thing. The next Friday is going to be sick. It's going to be like the non-existent roof is going to blow off of the place.
Going
And I'm sitting in right field, so like,
to be, yeah.
yeah.
So you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I was going to ask, like, what the biggest kind of question mark is when you kind of have said it's the pitching, with the guys that they had to replace, bringing in the couple guys that you just talked about.
Yeah, Severino got paid a lot more money than I think people thought that he was going to, which great for him. He was a afterthought when the Mets signed him last year and was really with Minaya the anchor of that rotation. They have this new kind of foundation-wide thing that is kind of been dubbed the pitching lab, where guys come in, they say, all right, here's where you are, here's where we can get you to. Do you want that? And either they buy in or they don't. And that's what happened with Minaya last year, with Severino last year. I have all the faith that it could happen to Clay Holmes because I watched all of his spring training starts and he looked great. The bullpen, I'm not worried about. The bullpen's deep. The rotation is just the longevity of it. Frankie Montes is out until I think May or June at the latest, pre-All-Star break. Minaya's starting to throw again, which is good. But it's just getting through these first few months and being able to bounce back. And the National League East is a freaking dogfight between the Phillies, who didn't really do much this offseason, and then the Braves. I feel like everybody just forgets about the Braves. Like they don't have Acuña and Spencer Strider coming back, and they added too. So it's the National League, the East, and the league as a whole is a dogfight, obviously. Realistically, you have seven teams that can come out of the National League and win the World Series.
So obviously we're a Boston-based podcast. So obviously I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about your thoughts about the Red Sox. I'm sure the listeners of this program would love to get your thoughts about the Red Sox and their offseason and what you think the season might look like.
I think they did everything they needed to do. I thought Crochet was a must get for him. I think Crochet gets a bad rap because he was a White Sox and they were just bad. So
Sure.
his numbers on paper, like people look at his win loss record and they're like, oh my God, he went 6-13 last year, but he was on the worst team in baseball history. They went out and got the starting pitcher you needed. I also love the addition of Walker Buehler, which I was surprised he signed a 1-year deal.
That kind of was too.
Yeah, but it's he's a good add, and if he could stay healthy, the top of your rotation with those two, and when Bayo comes back, and you also have why am I blanking? Not Cutter Crawford. Help me out. Tanner Houck. Houck's still there. You have a bunch of guys. You have a deep rotation. Love the addition of Bregman. I wanted the Mets to get Bregman to play second base. I thought at the beginning of spring training, everything was gonna kind of be a, for lack of a better term, just like a shit show, because everything with Devers came out that he was gonna be the third baseman. And it's which to a degree I get because elder statesman. It's you've been here the longest, but when you have a negative 262 defensive run saved in your career, it's you kind of have to. Check your ego at the door type of thing. And listen, you could say a lot of things about Cora and the Astro stuff and when he was there and you got fired that one time, but like he's a no BS manager and will do what it takes to win. And I was reading today that it was basically like, all right, Devers is DHing, Bregman's playing third, and that's it. That's it. I'm worried about the bullpen because you're relying on Liam Hendricks, who hasn't, pitched in a year and a half, 2 years, and Chapman, who is shaky. Although he did look good in Mexico, we'll give him that. The lineup's going to be fun. It's just, what are you going to? Can Duran do what he can? Duran do what he did last year again? And really, like what you're getting out of Devers. Even though Bregman, I think long term is an overpay because I don't think he's worth $40 million a year, what he is. And they deferred money, but still, he's still at 35 mil a year with deferred payments. You know what Bregman's going to do? Your three big question marks, in my opinion, is can Story stay healthy? Can Tristan Casas stay healthy? And what are you going to get out of Yoshida once he's back? And I think you're kind of pigeonholing yourself where you now Devers is going to DH, so Yoshida has to play the outfield. So what is everything going to be when you have a fully healthy outfield and you have Yoshida available, you have Abreu there, you have Duran there, and then you got to think Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, who sounds like he made the team.
Yes.
So he'll be starting at second base. Can he adapt to major league pitching? Because look, some guys, I'll use Jackson Holliday as an example. All the hype in the world was around Jackson Holliday.
Yep, that's right.
He hit 189 to start his first stint up here. So it's like you have question marks that are good question marks, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Yeah.
So I mean, I just don't know. The outfield thing is what's big for me because like Rafaela's got to cut down striking out.
Exactly. Yeah.
100 and I read something the other day that he had 150 strikeouts to 15 walks last year, which I'm sorry, I'm not good at math. That's not a good ratio.
That is not a good ratio.
And
Yeah.
so it's tough. I'm also curious to see what it takes to get a guy like Marcelo or Roman Anthony up here. Like, is it an injury? Is it underperformance? Because look, as much as Marcelo Meyer is going to be a shortstop in his long career, if you got to win games and knock on wood, it doesn't happen. But like Christian Campbell gets hurt, you're not sticking with David Hamilton. Meyer can play second base. This is the year that you got to take a big step and in a division that is always Yankees, Red Sox, and with the extended playoffs now, you saw it with the Mets. All you got to do is get in. You never know what's going to happen. But the Red Sox are a lot deeper than I think people realize. I think they're saving their ammunition for a certain Toronto first baseman next year. And I think this is, what'd you say?
I said maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and I think next year is really going to be the year that you're going to see them take bigger leaps, because then that gives you the ability to trade Casas for assets, and potentially Yoshida for assets too. But this year is the first year that they got to take that leap where it's like, okay, we did this year. What are we going to, what can we build off of after this year? They can't do what they did last year. They can't do what they did last year again.
Absolutely not. Yeah, kind of looking at some of the other divisions. What do you think could be other divisions that could be really competitive? You mentioned the NL East, and I think
Yeah,
that's one of the
I
problems.
mean the NL East, you asked me earlier about like what team had a solid offseason that could fly under the radar. Washington has a chance to be good. A lot of young pitching. You have Dylan Cruz, you have James Wood up now. You traded for Nathaniel Lowe, you brought Josh Bell back. You have some thump in the middle of that order now with you have your top guys up there, CJ Abrams, Dylan Cruz, James Wood. They're not this little pushover anymore like they were. I'm not sitting here saying they're going to win 90 games, but they could be competitive, yeah, the NL East is deep on top of that, and like I said, I think people are forgetting how freaking good Atlanta is. Last year you had injuries to Riley, to Acuna, obviously, to Strider. My big question is can Acuna come back after two torn ACLs and play the way he played 2 years ago? 2 years ago now? Yeah. So it's like, what does that look like? But they always get production out of guys that are like, you never expect to get production out of again. Like, I sweated out that doubleheader at the end of last year where the Mets had to win one game to make the playoffs. I'm like, I'm sweating out at bats against Gio Urshela. I'm like, come on, dude. You know what I mean? It's like they're just a team that they find guys. Like Jesse Chavez signed there again. I guarantee you he's pitching high leverage innings out of the bullpen by June. It's just like they're always good. The NL Central is kind of a crapshoot because you got the Pirates, the Brewers are always good, but they never, again, they're another team that is competitive but never takes that extra step financially, right? And they traded Devin Williams to the Yankees. That's another thing. Yankees bullpen is better than it is the best it's been since Mariano Rivera was there, in my opinion. But again, he's a free agent at the end of the year. Are they going to pay him? But the AL East, like I said, the NL Central is going to be good. You got the Brewers. The Cardinals are weird. They have the name value to be good, but they just underperformed last year, and Goldschmidt left. He underperformed last year. That's another one. And I mean, listen, the NL West is the Dodgers to lose until they lose it, right? But you have the Dodgers. The Giants made some big moves this year, bringing Willy Adames back in. And then the Padres are always freaking good. Padres are deep. Padres got to go for it because they're having some ownership troubles. I think they're going to end up trading guys after this year.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that this year is kind of for them to just like throw everything at the wall and hope it sticks. Go for one more shot,
Gotcha. You think you want to go playoff teams in each league, and then who you think wins
Yeah,
the
so what is it? Six teams total.
yes, division
I'll
league.
go to the American League first. I'll go the American League first here. I'm gonna go the Yankees win the division, unfortunately. The Royals win the AL Central. The Royals are a fun team, man. They're another team that just like breeds pitching all of a sudden. Cole Reagans is my dark horse Cy Young winner, in case anybody wants to put that. He has good odds on FanDuel. I looked last week. And then the AL West is weird because like I want Seattle to be so good. I really do. And like the Angels do things every year to like think they're going to be good and they're not, but I think the Rangers bounce back, really deep pitching, and I'm biased because I love Kumar Rocker, obviously.
Of course.
So I take them to win the West. My three wild card teams, I'll go the Red Sox for the first wild card. The Guardians, I almost said the Indians, they're the second wild card team because they always make it. And then Baltimore didn't really spend real money. They brought on Nealon, they brought Gary Sanchez in, their pitching's and to start the year, but Holiday's gonna start it short because Gunnar's hurt, I think, but I think they'll sneak in. If not, I'll take Seattle.
Gotcha.
Be
Okay.
the third wild card team. So that's kind of like my tie wild card team for that third spot there. I'd love to see a one game playoff somewhere, somehow.
Oh gosh, yeah, that would be
Just
incredible.
163s are electric.
Yes.
On the NL side of things, the NL West, that's the easy one, right? The NL West is the Dodgers until I'm worried about Mookie though, just like health wise. Like
Yeah.
that's crazy.
Very strange, yeah.
That's like to see him lose that much
Yeah.
weight that quickly is wild. I'll take the Brewers to win the Central. And to be fair, you know what? Screw it. I'll take the Mets to win the East. Yeah, I can't. I can't. I have to, right? The NL, the wild card teams. There will be three from the East again. I think it'll be the Phillies and the Braves in no specific order, one or two. And then the Padres as the third one. I'm not gonna do World Series ones
Okay, all right.
because it's way too close. And this year feels like it's like the Dodgers and everybody else, but it's such like a it's a dogfight in the National League that you really can't predict it.
Yeah.
The American League, who knows? Like I said, it sends back to what we talked about earlier. It literally all depends what the Yankees do. If they stay afloat and they're able to hold on to the division, can Boston be there from day one and fight with them? Yeah, but it depends what the Yankees do at the deadline. The American League is very top heavy. I'm not going to say weak, but it's top heavy. You have three, four teams that you're like, oh my God, and then the rest are like, I can't name, like I said, seven, eight teams in the National League that can make it to the World Series.
Yeah.
That side, so it's tough, but it's gonna be fun, man. It's baseball's back. This like I'm giddy. Like tonight's gonna be hard for me to sleep.
Yeah, it'll be exciting, Christmas Eve, as you said.
Exactly. Christmas Eve, man. We're back.
But yeah, that's great. Well, Eric, great to have you back on the pod. It really felt like it had been a while, but great to have you back and talking baseball. And man, good luck at the season opener on Friday. Hopefully it goes
Thank
well.
you, brother. Let's kick it around the deadline. After the deadline's over, we'll hop on and do like a wrap up.
Sounds great. All right.
Well, yeah, brother. Always appreciate you having me on, man.
Absolutely, man.